You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Yesterday, the Justice Department released 9 national security legal opinions written by the Bush administration, which revealed that in the weeks before President George W. Bush left office, an administration attorney had disavowed all of the decisions apparently made after 9/11 in the context, eventually, of the Patriot Act. Joining us to talk about the significance of these new memos and what they all have to do with a man by the name of John Yoo is our good friend Marjorie Cohen. She is the president of the National Lawyers Guild and the author of the soon-to-be-released Rules of Disengagement, The Politics and Honor of Military Dissent. Marjorie Cohen, welcome back to Flashpoints.
My pleasure, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you again. First of all, give us a brief thumbnail sketch of what the new memos mean and suggest.
Well, it's quite amazing. I mean, we had seen some of the prior memos, the John Yoo, Jay Bybee memos, where they purported to basically insulate the Bush administration from any prosecution for torture, redefining torture. But these memos go even further in many respects. John Yoo, who is the author or co-author of some of these memos, and Jay Bybee, a federal court judge, also author of one or more of these memos, talk about things like the Fourth Amendment won't apply to any domestic military operations. In other words, if the president thinks that there's a terrorist in a house in the United States, even a U.S. citizen, he can authorize the police to just barge in, or the military to barge in and with guns blazing and search and seize and arrest people without even going to a judge. In other words, the Fourth Amendment wouldn't apply. There's also another astounding assertion in one of these memos where John Yoo, who is one of the co-authors of the memo, it was dated October 23, 2001, suggested that the president could even suspend the Fourth Amendment, freedom of speech and freedom of press, if he thought it was necessary to wage the so-called war on terror. And you wrote, First Amendment speech and press rights may also be subordinated to the overriding need to wage war successfully. In that memo, John Yoo essentially said that the United States was in a state of armed conflict. And he said the scale of violence was unprecedented, and legal and constitutional rules governing law enforcement, such as the Fourth Amendment prohibition on unreasonable searches and seizures, didn't apply. Another one of the memos, one written by Jay Bybee, the federal court judge, now, of course, rewarded for his role in these memos with a plum spot on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, was dated March 13, 2002, and it basically gives the green light to extraordinary rendition. He concluded that the president can transfer al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners anywhere, to any country they want, and as long as they don't intend that the person be tortured in that third country, then there's no restriction. He says the torture convention doesn't apply, and we know from speaking before, Dennis, that the torture convention says that no exceptional circumstances whatsoever, whether a state of war or a threat of war, internal political instability, or any other public emergency, may be invoked as a justification for torture. But the torture convention also says that no country can expel, return, or extradite a person to another country where there are substantial grounds for believing that he would be in danger of being subjected to torture. Jay Bybee writes in this March 13, 2002 memo that the torture convention doesn't apply extraterritorially, which is an astounding assertion. So this was one, and then what happened, and there are many other really there are too many egregious things to go over in the short amount of time we had. But one of the things, one of the things that John Yoo and his co-author Della Hunte did was to say that because the law recognizes self-defense, legitimate self-defense, therefore the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply. because we're basically defending ourselves against these people who are attacking us in the country right now in this state of war. Now, it is true that we had terrorist attacks, horrific attacks on 9/11 that killed 3,000 people in New York and in Pennsylvania. But nobody, I think, in their right mind would say that we are in a state of war. And so he's saying because we have a right to self-defense, then we can suspend the Fourth Amendment because we're defending ourselves against the terrorists. Now, that's the same kind of reasoning that Bush used with his preemptive war strategy, saying, we're acting in self-defense here by going into Iraq and Afghanistan. The law of self-defense, and I know because I teach criminal law, requires that there be a reason, the person exercising self-defense have a reasonable belief in the need to defend against death or great imminent death or great bodily injury. And there's no showing that the terrorists are imminently going to attack us. So, I mean, these memos basically inform the Bush administration that there are no limits at all on the president in suspending the Constitution. Now, interestingly, a couple of months before Bush left office, this was on October 6th, 2008, and then again on January 15th, 2009, the Bush administration's Office of Legal Counsel of the Department of Justice issued two memos basically rescinding all of these prior memos, saying we didn't really mean it, we weren't really following them anyway, and it was the classic cover your ass, excuse my French, classic, saying, well, the legal reasoning, and it not really criticizing the legal reasoning, but saying for various reasons, we shouldn't rely on them, disavowing them. Now, I believe we've talked before about the two infamous torture memos that John Yoo wrote or co-wrote. One was on August 1st, 2002, the other on March 14th, 2003. And in those two memos, John Yoo redefined torture far more narrowly than our law permits, saying that the person had to basically suffer something akin to organ failure in order to be tortured, and talking about how the president and how officials could get away with torture and not be charged under the War Crimes Act because they would be acting in self-defense or out of necessity, notwithstanding the absolute prohibition on torture, which I read earlier. Now, after this August 1st, 2002 memo was public, the Department of Justice knew that it was indefensible. It was bad PR. So on June 1st, 2004, it was withdrawn. And on December 30th, 2004, the Department of Justice issued a new memo that was supposed to supersede this August 1st, 2002 memo. And likewise, the March 14th, 2003 memo was also rescinded after it became public. One of the things that the March 14th, 2003 memo written by John Yoo said was that John Yoo said that the Department of Justice would not enforce U.S. laws against torture, assault, maiming, and stalking in the detention and interrogation of enemy combatants. Now, just in case people don't know what the maiming statute is that John Yoo didn't want to enforce, the maiming statute makes it a crime for someone with the intent to torture, maim, or disfigure, to cut, bite, or slit the nose, ear, or lip, or cut out or disable the tongue, or put out or destroy an eye, or cut off or disable a limb, or any member of another person, or throw or pour upon another person any scalding water, corrosive acid, or caustic substance. This is what John Yoo didn't want to enforce. In other words, if the CIA or someone acting for the U.S. government wanted to maim another person under the guise of the so-called war on terror, we were not going to charge that person with maiming. John Yoo basically said that just because the statute says, that doesn't mean you have to do it, unquote. So we have here additional startling evidence in these newly released memos of a concerted plan by the Bush administration and their lawyers to basically suspend the Constitution if the president wanted to. Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, our treaties, that the president could unilaterally abrogate a treaty. The sky's the limit. There were almost no limitations.
All right, well, let me jump in here, Marjorie Cohen. Let me tell people you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We are speaking with Marjorie Cohen. She is president of the National Lawyers Guild and the author of the soon-to-be-released Rules of Disengagement, the Politics and Honor of Military Dissent. Now, let's sort of take this on the macro. John Yoo, by the way, obviously teaches, for those of you who don't understand this, we're broadcasting from Berkeley, and he's a stone's throw here from here at the University of California at Berkeley, the Bolt Law School, where he's teaching young students about the nature and the importance and the meaning of the Constitution. Now, back to this memorandum of October 23rd, 2001, and these other memorandums. I thought, and maybe you can consider these memorandums in the difference between what makes a democracy and what makes fascism.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, when you have a system of government that we do that has three separate co-equal branches of government, the legislative, the judicial, and the executive, to check and balance each other so that no one becomes more powerful, and no one understood more than the founding fathers the danger of the executive going hog wild. You have that kind of a government. And yet, then you have secret memos being written for the benefit of the executive branch to tell the executive that there are no checks on his power, that as long as he says we're in a war, he can do whatever he wants. He can suspend the Constitution. He doesn't have to go to Congress to make the rules about interrogation and detention and capture and trying people and abrogating treaties. He can do whatever he wants. And so then we're left with a single branch of government. And that's really what the Bush administration was doing for 8 years. We knew it was happening. We had seen some of the memos. There are some memos that we still haven't seen. For example, the same day that you wrote his August 1st, 2002 memo, that the horrible torture memo, the most infamous torture memo, there was an accompanying memo that approved the CIA's authority to use waterboarding. We haven't seen that. It hasn't been released. And it's my understanding that there are many memos that still have not been released. And my hope is that Eric Holder, the new Attorney General, I commend him for releasing these, that he will continue to release these memos so that we can understand what rules, if you want to call them rules, the Bush administration was operating under when they were spying on people without warrants, when they were torturing and abusing people, when they were rendering people to other countries where they were tortured, and the list goes on and on and on. And I do want to say one other thing. John Yoo is not at Berkeley this year. He is a visiting professor at Chapman Law School. I think he feels more comfortable
at
Chapman.
Right, but they didn't fire him. He still has his prestige.
He's just visiting. He's just visiting in Orange County.
He left town, let's say.
Yeah, and
in a hurry.
I think he feels more comfortable in Orange County than he does in Berkeley for some reason.
All right, well, you also are charged with the great responsibility of training young people to be lawyers. You're a teacher of law at Thomas Jefferson down there in Southern California. By the way, there's no way to stop John Yoo, who has now advocated the overthrow of the Constitution and the use of torture, which was, by the way, we have to remember this stuff wasn't just written on paper. It was used, right?
Oh, yes.
This is an activist. These aren't just philosophy classes.
No. And in fact, the interrogations and detention of at least two men in waterboarding, Abu Zubaydah and Abd al-Ramin al-Nashiri, were also pursuant to these memos, and they were tortured. In fact, in my book, Cowboy Republic, I talk about what happened to Abu Zubaydah, and it was not a pretty picture, and Abu Zubaydah was not a top al-Qaeda leader. One of the FBI's leading experts on al-Qaeda Zubaydah, Dan Coleman, said that Abu Zubaydah knew very little about any operations, and yet Bush continued to say, I said Zubaydah was important. You're not going to let me lose face on this, are you, when George Tenet, pushed back. But Zubaydah was tortured so badly that he confessed to al-Qaeda targeting the Brooklyn Bridge, the Statue of Liberty, shopping malls, banks, supermarkets, water systems, nuclear plants, apartment buildings. None of it was true. He was schizophrenic, and yet the Bush administration reacted zealously to every single report. So, I mean, you don't even have good intelligence coming out of these policies.
All right, we have a minute left, and the question I actually was getting to, as a teacher, as a professor, teacher of law, lover of the Constitution, your life devoted to the study of law, what's your response to the fact that this guy is training young people to be? Are you concerned?
I am, in fact, Dennis. That's why the National Lawyers Guild called for not just the prosecution of John Yoo and the other lawyers for conspiring to break the law and with their shoddy legal reasoning, but also the investigation by the State Bar and his firing from Berkeley. This is not an issue of academic freedom. This is not an issue of him saying whatever he wants in his classroom or writing law review articles. This is an issue of a man who was paid by the president to advise the president on how to break the law and get away with it. And we're talking about war crimes. He's a war criminal, and he should be tried as a war criminal, and he should not retain his job at Berkeley, because it's very dangerous. Number one, it's very dangerous that he is teaching our students these ideas that he has that are basically illegal. And number two, our taxpayer dollars are going to pay the salary of a war criminal, and that is just intolerable.
All right. Well, Marjorie Cohen, it is good to speak with you again, president of the National Lawyers Guild, and book coming up, Rules of Disengagement, The Politics and Honor of Military Dissent. We will see what happens with John Yoo. Oh, I forgot to ask you, well, if he's guilty of these crimes, what about his boss?
Yes. Well, I have a new piece that's on my website, MarjorieCohen.com, that talks about that as well and why a special prosecutor should be appointed. And it's not just the lawyers, of course. It is also their bosses, and that is Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, John Ashcroft, George Tenet, who met in the
maybe
basement.
They could turn John Yoo state's witness. Maybe he'll cut a deal, cop a plea, and testify against his boss.
You know, that's a very interesting idea, especially since Michael Isikoff of Newsweek said on the Rachel Maddow show that there are emails between the White House and the lawyers, specifically John Yoo, Jay Bybee, and Stephen Bradbury, and if those could be the smoking guns, those could show that the Bush administration was basically telling them that they wanted the legal, legal cover to break the law. And if that's the case, that's the smoking gun. But Dick Cheney admitted waterboarding. He's proud of it. And waterboarding's torture, as we know, torture's a war crime. George Bush said, I knew they were meeting and doing this, and I approved. John Yoo wrote in the Wall Street Journal the end of January 29th, that Bush could waterboard. He could authorize waterboarding, and he did that three times. And so there are a lot of admissions in my book, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. I actually make the case for charging these people with war crimes, and many other people have done that as well.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Mr. Yoo will see the better interests of the country, and maybe it'll help him keep out of jail. Thanks for being with us, Marjorie Cohen, and it's always informative to speak with you.
My pleasure, Dennis.
Bye-bye.